Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 11 of Come Get Your Podcast.
Double digits.
We did it.
Well, we were double digits last time, too.
We did it. We did it twice in a row.
But now Mom, we're double digits, like, because there's two ones.
Mom, I did it. You'll be so proud of me.
Alliteration for numbers.
We're almost a teenager.
We're getting so close. That's true. We're growing older every time. I'd say wiser, but we all know that's not true.
No.
As I said, this is Come Get Your Podcast. I am your host, Adam.
I am your host, Dustin.
And I am your host, Chris.
How are we doing today, boys?
Doing good.
It's a lovely, brisk fall morning.
It's getting spooky outside.
Spooky, yeah. Scary.
I was at work yesterday at like 5:30 and it was dark. And I'm like, well, got to get used to that. Well,
Chris, I know. And we haven't even hit daylight savings time. So
I know.
An hour off of that.
And Chris said it snowed last night?
Yeah. I was playing Wolfenstein at like 11:30 last night. And I looked at my phone, and my phone has those weather effects, and it was snowing, and I'm like, what?
You can get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. So I go yeah. to look outside, I don't see anything, but I'm like, I can see like rain-esque, but I'm like, mm-hmm. It's like 20-some degrees, so it has to be snow, right?
Well, it's some kind of mixture.
So yeah.
I guess.
It was a lovely week of fall we had.
I'm not ready for it.
No, not at all.
It's not even Halloween yet. I don't need snow in my life.
No. Man, remember the days where you wouldn't see snow until like the second week of December?
That's when I'm okay with it.
You know, like you had fall was end of September, October, November, and then you had a little bit in December, but then it was snow.
Well, as a kid, you wanted it to snow earlier and earlier in the year because then possibly you got out of going to school. As adults, you know, Adam and I can attest to this. I don't want it to snow at all because then I have to shovel the driveway.
I want one day of snow a year on Christmas. Done.
Exactly. Christmas morning.
Then I'm done.
I want to look out and be like, oh, this is beautiful. Then I shovel it and then I hang up the shovel for the next year.
And yeah. I don't even want a lot. I just want enough to cover the ground a little bit. And then I don't even have to shovel my driveway.
Yeah.
I don't mind the first snow of the year, but then after that, more and more, once you start seeing slushy fucking bullshit on the ground, and then people can't drive for shit, then I'm like, I'm done.
Well, between all the chemtrails and the conspiracies and climate change, that's why. Yeah. But yes, this is right before Halloween, and you'd think this would be a spooky episode, but I don't think we're actually really going to talk about any scary games.
No, I don't think so.
Which is fine.
I mean, I don't think I've played a lot of scary games this year even, so.
I've played Resident Evil a little bit lately, and then Amnesia, just because that game is great. And I haven't finished it yet in the 8 years it's been out.
I mean, we could talk about the scariest game ever made, and that's P.T.
It's not even a game, though. That's just a playable trailer.
It's game enough for me.
Yeah,
that game scared the shit out of me.
It's one of the only. Well, it's one of the few games that made my palms sweat while playing it. Out of being terrified of what's about to happen.
But then that game got canceled, and now we get The Shape of Water out of it. So when?
Yeah, Death Stranding. We'll see.
Well, we get Death Stranding from Hideo, but Guillermo del Toro is his new movie, The Shape of Water, is coming out very soon, and it looks really fucking good.
Yeah, didn't a trailer come out for that? Or no, not a trailer. He just had a poster.
There is a trailer out for it as well. Yes, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either yet. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Go look that up. Do yourselves a favor.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's pause this podcast.
All right, I'll come back in five.
No, let's just make everybody listen to us watch the trailer.
You guys can't hear it. You'll just hear our reactions to it.
Yeah, people love reaction videos, but yeah, you're only going to get, it's like the one side of a phone conversation. You're just going to hear us reacting to whatever's on our screen that you can't hear or see.
I think we have enough pull where that would go over well. Well, it is Halloween, though, and that means there are work parties and parties for Halloween coming. So what are we all going as?
What are you going as?
What, me? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll start. I'm going as the man, the myth, the legend, Negan from The Walking Dead. because he is one of my favorite characters in comic and television media right now.
You know, that slick black hair, mustache.
Well, I don't have black hair. I have really dark brown hair.
Shoe polish.
That's close enough.
I'm gonna slick it back. And I went the whole nine yards. I got myself a replica jacket, bought myself a bat, got some fake barbed wire because I don't want to hurt anybody actually today.
Well, I mean, you could still do some damage with the bat if you really wanted to.
I
could still
do some damage with the bat, I guess. but significantly less damage than having razor wire on there, so.
That is true. That is true.
I found a dude on Etsy out in Massachusetts who makes fake barbed wire for, I mean, I'm assuming this time of year specifically, but anytime you want it. And so that came here. It looks really good, so it should do the trick.
That'll be cool. I can't wait to see it.
Well, where are you going as Dustin?
I am going as Burt Macklin of the FBI from Parks and Rec.
You were searching for a jacket online with FBI jacket, right?
Yeah, we were. We were looking for an actual FBI jacket, which we found, and they were like $40 or $50 online. So I was like, I don't know if I want to spend that much on a jacket that I'm going to wear once because it says FBI.
I justified spending almost $100 on my jacket because sure. I'm going to wear it a bunch.
But so we found just like a dark blue windbreaker, and we were trying to decide, maybe we go to some place to print on letters like yellow FBI letters and whatnot. So we started watching a couple just quick YouTube videos of Burt Macklin scenes, and his jacket in the show is just a blue
windbreaker
with shitty yellow tape just taped on that says FBI. So I went, well, we have to do this legit and just get some yellow tape and just put FBI on the back and front.
So, and you probably saved yourself like $30-$40.
Oh, yeah. So this is a really cheap costume. It's the exact opposite of what you did. I just had to buy a blue windbreaker and some aviators. That's it.
Nice and simple.
It's very simple, so...
I love it. It reminds me of when the Trump fired the head of the FBI and Chris Pratt put on Twitter like a gif of Burt Macklin. He goes, "I'm ready."
I remember that.
Well, what's great, what's completing it is that Katie's going as Janet Snakehole.
Yes.
That's so we're going to be the duo.
Does she have the long cigarette holder?
She does, and she's got the little, what is that, little birdcage thing, whatever, that hat. I don't know what they're called.
With the little veil on.
Yeah, yeah.
Birdcage.
That's what I'm going to call it.
The birdcage hat.
It's the birdcage hat. So
sounds like a sequel to The Birdcage. A really bad one, but...
Yeah, this went way...
It's just Nathan Lane crying for four.
This went into left field quick with the sequel here.
I'm sorry.
So I have a confession, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am not a Halloween person. Never have been. Don't know why. It's just not been my cup of tea.
How dare you?
I know. I'm sorry. I know that kind of probably offends some of our listeners because I know that your wife, Misty, is huge on Halloween.
She's real big on it.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. So is Brad. I've seen Brad do some really cool things on Halloween.
So it's not when this time of year comes, like people are dressed up in costumes, and I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I don't have the inkling to do it for me. However, at work, we are having Halloween's really big in our company. So, like, all these teams dress up. Like, the marketing team in our company is doing Mario Kart. So, it looks really nice. There's going to be pictures of it, guaranteed. But so, our team is doing Saturday Night Live characters, and I'm going to be a Dot O'Connor. Super fan of the Bears.
Good timing too, because they're on a win streak of two games.
Oh yeah,
that's a streak.
I think that's a streak's a streak.
I think they've completed 12 passes in those two games too. So
that's what blew my mind last week was Trubisky throwing 7 times the whole game, and they still won.
Well, the offense was never on the field. two defensive touchdowns. It's like 2005 all over again, but with a shitty
biscuit coming through
with a shittier defense and a shittier offense. So we're not going to make the Super Bowl, but bring in Devin Hester. We need somebody to return kicks. Anyway, super fan.
It's gonna be funny because I have a beard and mustache and everything. Like,
you've been bearded and mustachioed for a while now.
It's been years, so I'm gonna actually, it's full Chris Farley style, I'm gonna shave. I have a fake mustache I did buy. Good. And I'm gonna shave, and it's gonna be, I have like a Bears windbreaker jacket. I'm gonna have my Bears shirt underneath. I got some like similar glasses to what they wear. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be pretty shockful for most people because they've never seen me baby faced.
That's gonna be weird.
I don't think I've seen you baby faced.
I barely remember myself baby faced. So
you have to post that on Instagram. I think that's what we're gonna do, right?
Yeah, we're gonna post all our costumes on the IG for you guys to see, because apparently that's starting to go pretty well. I guess, I don't know. I'm not the one that runs it. Chris is. So
I run it. Dustin contributes sometimes. Yeah,
I need to download the app on my phone.
Yeah. Well, Instagram's nice because you can have, you like, I have a personal profile of my own, but then I could switch right into the CGY podcast one.
I have some sad news, actually. It's not terribly sad, but I'm Negan. I am Negan. And Negan has a beard in the show for the most part. He does in the comics, but he does in the show. And so I grew a beard for about a month. And I'm usually not a beard grower. I usually keep stubble. Anything longer than that, I get yelled at. just kidding. But I grew a beard for a whole month. I didn't shave at all. And it started looking pretty damn good. I was going to have to trim it and everything. And we were going somewhere last week. And I decided instead of looking like a fucking homeless man, I was going to trim my beard a little bit, make it at least the same length, and so I didn't have stuff sticking out everywhere. And I went, started trimming, put my guard on, and the guard snapped off, and I just drew a line across my face.
No.
Like I mowed the lawn on my face.
Oh, no.
I didn't like where that story was going already.
And I stopped, and I looked at myself, and I said, fuck.
Does this story end with Negan now having mutton chops?
Because I just took the guard off and got rid of the beard and kept the mustache. And I was like, people haven't seen me. I hadn't gone out in like a few weeks. And so people hadn't seen me in a while. And I was like, do I want to go to, oh, it was our friend Kate's birthday party. It was her 30th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the mustache on and I kept it. And I was like, it was all wild. And I was like, well, this looks terrible. So I actually got a different guard on there and trimmed it. And then I looked like a pedophile. And I couldn't do it. So I got rid of that. And so I'm on a week's worth of growth here. So I might have to put a little bit of a fake, either draw a mascara or something, put a fake beard on a little more to fill it in. But I was so disappointed in myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was at Kate's party. I didn't remember you looking like a pedophile, so I was like, oh,
I got
no.
rid of it all.
Yeah. Eh, that'll happen, though. I mean, I bet you it'll still look good, so.
It'll look fine, but I was all amped up for Halloween. For tonight, we're going to another birthday party tonight for our friend Caitlin's 31st birthday. Her actual birthday is on Halloween, so happy early birthday, Caitlin, if you're listening. I know you're not.
No.
And but it's her birthday party tonight, and so it's a costume party. And I was so excited because, like, I went legit for the first year in forever. Usually I do what either Dustin did or Chris does. Like, I usually don't dress up that much. I just go very basic, very cheap. And after the beard incident happened, I lost all drive. for 3 days. I was like, fuck this. I don't want to do it anymore. But it'll work out. I had a whole week. It's not nowhere near the length where it was to like look very authentic, but it'll work.
I appreciate a good costume, you know. I do.
I tried on the whole thing yesterday or the day before, and
you look good.
It looks pretty good.
I bet
my hair's receding in the right way to look very authentic.
Are you gonna keep the jacket and wear it around?
I probably will. It's a pretty fucking nice jacket.
I bet.
I'm kind of sad I didn't get the genuine leather one, but at the same time, you know, keeping costs down.
So if you're going as Negan, who's Misty being?
She's going as Beth from the show.
Okay.
And spoiler alert, she's going as zombie version of Beth.
Well, she died, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the spoiler. She died. Mm-hmm. But that was like 4 years ago, so.
Yeah.
You should be caught up, people.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, if that's a spoiler to you, then whatever. You've dodged it this long, you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, given what happens, technically, she shouldn't be a zombie, but, you know, dressing up as a zombie is part of Halloween, so.
Yeah, you might as well. Fuck it. I mean, you could have gone as Negan as a zombie, and it would have still been cool. Like, it's
true.
I'm curious to see how well Carlos is, because he's been really keeping us updated with, like, how well his project's been going to be the Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. And like he's
going all out.
Going all out. He's making the cos. I don't know where if he 3D printed it, but like he has manufactured a Green Lantern suit, and then
he's the got, lamp. I saw he has the lamp.
Yeah, he's
got LEDs.
He was messing with LEDs the other day. So yeah, because he's doing the Green Lantern from the Injustice games.
Yes.
Yeah. So like the real modern, high tech.
Hal Jordan, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to be the gay one?
I don't think so. Not this time. Well, I mean, I think he wanted to, but I don't know. It's not my costume.
Well, 1 year, I'd have to find a picture of it, but a group of friends of mine did Mortal Kombat characters.
Ooh.
And it looked pretty damn good.
We should do that 1 year. That would be really cool.
This year, a similar group of friends did cheap and simple, but they did Cards Against Humanity. And it was pretty funny.
I could see you that know, working out well.
Like one had the black card and then
sure.
funny white cards to go along with it.
Nice. That's actually really smart and probably very cost effective.
Because my friend Andrew as well, and I'm about to show you guys the pictures of, but they did a Fallout themed Halloween party.
Ooh.
And it was awesome. Like my friend Andrew is a pretty huge Fallout fan. And they did like they had blood bags full. I think it was. I don't know. What was in it? I want to say like, it looked like Kool-Aid, but it was. It was Radaway, and they had Buff Out, and like, they had brought like
awesome.
Hostess snacks and called them Fancy Lad snacks. You know, they went all out, and it was fucking awesome. I loved
That's
it.
That's really cool.
We could Maybe do a Fallout. Year. Yeah, we could do a Fallout themed one because Clark and I both have the actual Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
So it could work.
That could actually work really you know? Well. Mm-hmm. Misty has a. I bought Misty a Shelter 111 onesie.
So there you go.
That I actually might fit in.
Just pop on that Pip-Boy and download the app or whatever that goes with it.
Completely uh-huh. different. But we've talked about it before. How I have an old school like 50s era refrigerator down in the basement that I want to turn into a Fallout refrigerator.
Yeah.
Completely off topic of that, but this is how I got there in my brain.
What's I don't happening. Like where this is going.
So everything's been going great with the house, right? And then recently Misty went downstairs to find something and clean some stuff out. And she looked in that refrigerator and we only had one bottle of port wine in there. And it seems silly to be running that refrigerator and the electricity if we only had one bottle of wine in there. So she took it out and brought it upstairs. And then she's cleaning out stuff behind it, and she found a bag of what I think are charcoal tablets. I'm not exactly sure yet. I haven't looked too much into it. And then I was like looking around even further behind there, which is where the refrigerator is under the stairs that go down in the basement, and there's a little crawl space back there.
Yeah.
So she was having me pull this bag out because at the time she couldn't tell what it was. So I was doing that, and then I was looking further behind under the stairs, and I found a hypodermic needle.
Oh, fuck.
So thank you, former tenants.
Yeah.
Was it used? You didn't get
pricked yourself? Well, I'm not. I didn't look at it that much. It had a cap on it, so I don't know who's to say, but I don't know how to dispose of it.
How did it taste?
Like acid.
Okay, well.
Sulfuric, not no. But this leads me to my next point was a couple weeks ago we had a skunk issue where a skunk sprayed somewhere around her house, and it just smelled like straight up skunk for like 2 weeks, and it's still kind of there. But now I'm wondering if some water got somewhere and got on some pot, and somehow that just made it smell like skunk. If there's like a huge stash of weed behind my walls somewhere in our basement.
I mean, it's really only one way to find out.
And the investigation is ongoing, and I will provide updates as they come. So I wonder what other awesome things I'm going to find in that basement one day.
Jesus Christ.
Party that was a little, that was a little insight into my week.
I thought you were going to say the fridge broke or something.
No. The fridge is great. We unplugged it, so we're going to save some money on electricity. And then, you know, found some probably drug needles. So, as you do.
I love it when I find hypodermic needles.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because then you don't have to buy your own, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Am Sharon's I caring right? And saving some money. I need to figure out how I can dispose of this properly. If I need to call somebody, or because I don't feel like tossing in the garbage is the right thing.
No. I could ask Katie. I mean, I guess she would know.
That makes sense, actually. We should do that tonight.
Working in a hospital, she probably knows how to get rid of that shit.
So, yeah. Anyway, on to video games.
Yeah, a completely different topic.
Yesterday, Friday, 27th of October, the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm going to say it's possibly one of the best days for gaming and media in recent memory.
Oh, yeah.
I'd agree.
Would you agree? Okay.
I would agree.
Yesterday, we saw the release on a Friday of all. Like, that's the weird part to me, because usually release day is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, on a Friday, we saw the release of Wolfenstein 2, or what is it, the New Colossus?
The New Colossus, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein 2, the New Colossus, Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, and we get Stranger Things Season 2, all in the same day.
Yeah,
that's mind-blown territory.
This is my night yesterday, you know, starting early. Like, I got home, had some dinner. While eating dinner, I was watching the first episode of Stranger Things Season 2 while waiting for Wolfenstein 2 to install. No, I should re-clarify that. To download and install, because for some fucking reason, it takes longer to install on my disc than downloading and installing from Steam.
And so you bought a PC copy.
I bought the PC collector's version, which had a pretty cool like action figure, Terror Billy.
Terror Billy. Appropriate because of Halloween.
And yeah, it came with the DVD ROM, Blu-ray. I think it's just Blu-ray, actually.
I think it's Blu-ray at this point now, yeah.
And I was like, I went to put the Steam key in Steam, and I was like, oh, I have the disc. I should install from the disc. It's probably faster. No.
No. You'd think it would be.
I thought it would have been, but no. My old ass mind, I guess, maybe.
Well, first of all, how was the first episode of Stranger Things?
It was pretty good. It was definitely a setup episode. So
awesome. Okay. How was the first part of Wolfenstein 2?
So it's solid. So it really takes place about, I think it's 5 months after Wolfenstein the New Order ends. And I've only played about like the first two missions per se. I don't know how many there are. And it's pretty funny so far. Awesome. And it's difficult. But not difficult to the point of getting frustrated.
What difficulty are you playing on? Just normal?
I want to say it's like the one above normal. Okay. There's a lot. There's like seven different ones that you can choose from. But I was telling Dustin this is kind of cool. So just like in the first game, like there's like a social, I don't want to say social space, but there's like an in-between mission place you can go in. Yeah, that you can walk around and do like little side missions in. And it's a similar thing in Wolfenstein 2. But in one of the places, there is a full working version of Wolfenstein 3D with all the levels.
Oh, with every level.
Every level. Not just the first one. In Wolfenstein New Order, you only played like the first mission in your dream sequence. This one, you can play the entire game. But it's not Wolfenstein 3D. It's called Wolfstone 3D. And instead of going against the Nazis, you're going against the Krausu Circle, which is the good guys.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. They reworked the 3D, the first game, to make That's it look cool. like... And there's a line that they use when he goes into to play the game. He goes, wow, these graphics are really realistic.
That was my one teensy tiny gripe from the first from the New Order was anytime you have the option to go into the old Wolfenstein 3D, it's only the first level. Because I did it every time I could.
Yep.
Which I get. It was supposed to be an Easter egg, but I think people really liked it enough. So that's cool. They put a full reskinned version of Wolfenstein 3D in there. That's awesome.
And I mean, that's only what I've seen so far. So, and you get to do the timeline thing again in there. So,
oh, sweet.
How much of that have you played, opposed to the actual new Colossus?
Of Wolfenstein 3D, yeah. I do like the first four levels in it.
It's like once you start, you can't stop.
That was a good hour of this morning. I was playing that Wolfenstein 3D.
When I hopped on Discord, that was what you were doing.
Yeah, no. When you were on Discord, yeah, I was just playing a normal level in the game, fighting a robot. I could have not fought, but I'm not a bitch. So far I like it.
Well, Dustin, what are you been playing? You haven't been playing any of these yet because you're still playing the first Wolfenstein.
I am. I'm from describing where I'm at in the game, you guys have told me I'm almost done with it. So
you're getting there.
Yeah, as I would have had it beaten by now, but Destiny 2 came out, and that, as everybody knows, that just kind of took over my life for a while. So
for a few weeks there, yeah.
Yeah, there's a time there where that's all I did. So, but lately just last night I bought the new South Park Fractured Butthole and I've been playing that as much as I could because I also ran into installation issues and I don't know why that's a thing now, but I waited for the game to download. I started playing it and then, you know, Clark, you've been playing it, so you know that first street you're on with Cartman's house, Stan's house, Kyle's house, your house, Butters.
The introduction.
Yeah, like you're doing the introduction. That's all I could play last night because I would finish everything on that street and I would have to go to the next area. And there was a guy there just telling me that I can't go there because the rest of the game hasn't loaded yet, which was real nice of them to put. Yeah. Just a character there. Yeah. So I get to listen to Trey Parker over and over tell me, you can't go here. The rest of the game isn't loaded yet. So I was just waiting.
That came out, Fractured Butthole came out the week before, right?
Yes.
Was it also Friday? Or was that a Tuesday? For me, it was a Tuesday.
So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't yesterday that it dropped, but it was in the last week. So,
yeah.
It's
been a hell of a week and a half for gaming.
Mm-hmm. And that game's a lot of fun. I know you've been playing it. I don't know if we've talked about it on a previous episode at all, but I like where that it picks up right after the first game, which I know Chris has been playing.
Yeah, I just bought Stick of Truth and I never played it before and it's fun. You know, I kind of regret not playing it earlier.
Which, I mean, that game came out 3.5 years ago, so mm-hmm. you're a little behind the eight ball, but like it's, you know, it's timeless.
I think South Park is funny. I do. It's not that I don't watch it. I looked at it as South Park humor, and like, I'm sure it's funny. And I didn't see it as an actual, like, good, it would be a good game. But now I'm playing it, I'm like, wow, this is actually a good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game. And it's essentially just another episode of South Park, except now you have a little more.
Well, what's say, about Skyrim, like, noises will come up, and I'm like, what was that?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, how much, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you spend on the Stick of Truth?
It's $30.
Okay, because when you buy Fractured Butthole, you get the first game.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to wait another 3.5 years to play in Fractured Butthole so it's $30?
I don't know, we'll see.
Okay.
Until that one drops to $30, and then you've only spent the $60 that you would have spent to get both anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's from what I can tell, they still are kind of similar games. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that's updated, but just the movement styles, but the actual battle styles are they're still very similar.
Mm-hmm. I'm over halfway through that game, and it's exactly the same almost as the first game, but mm-hmm. they get away with it because it's not because it's South Park, but because it's more like you're playing / watching an episode.
Yeah, but isn't the combat in the next in Fresh and Behold like grid based? Like you can only attack on these certain grids.
Yeah, there's movement and grid based combat, but other than that, it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a major. I mean, it is a major change, I should say, but it's
I think it's enough of a change for them to get away with it, like you said.
Yeah.
The whole point of the game is completely different, and
it's a better combat system.
Yeah. It's definitely took they kept the things that you really enjoy from the first game, and they just bring it over to the second one and then make other aspects even better is what they do, basically.
Regardless, it's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I bought Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, how's that been?
I've played probably 3 to 4 hours of it so far, and my god, it's so good. Which, if you look up any of the review scores for it, it's at a 90 or 10 out of 10 everywhere, pretty much. But it is the most like Mario 64 since Mario 64.
That's good. That's good to hear.
That's very good to hear.
they switched up a little bit with Mario Galaxy games, where, you know, it just the feel of it was different. And this was kind of a return to way back when. And, I mean, obviously now you have your cap you can throw, which is also sentient. and you can, I think they call, Nintendo calls it controlling people. You're basically possessing them. And taking over their being and soul.
Yeah, didn't you send us a picture?
Yeah, I became a frog. It's the first thing you can change into. But also from the trailer, which I've experienced, you can become a T-Rex.
That's got to be fun.
You're fucking T-Rex, guys. And it's awesome. And he has a little hat on, a little Mario hat on, and a mustache. It's adorable. It's the only complaint I have about the game is they really, really want you to have it use the non-docked motion control with the Joy-Cons. So you have two of them, one in each hand, and you know you're playing on a TV or you're playing in where your stands out on the little screen.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to play it docked.
They prefer you to play it docked, or at least you know not where it's like a Game Gear, and then using motion controls is a big part of it, which is fine. I haven't really there. It's a little finicky with some of the moves. And that's really my only complaint. But like the base game itself, it's so much fun.
Are there aspects of the game where you have to play it in its docked mode?
No.
Or they just you can just tell they encourage.
It's encouraged. It's very, very, very explicit that they're like, hey, play in with you know, or play with both Joy-Cons in each hand.
Okay.
So to the point where it's the very first thing you see when you turn on the game, you don't even get a title screen. A screen pops up with a person saying, or with a person's hands on screen with a Joy-Con in each hand, and then it's like, put it in docked mode or play it where it's, you know, the kickstand's out and you have a Joy-Con in each hand, and it stays up for like 10 seconds and then it goes to the title screen.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's... It's very blatant. However,
okay,
you can play with it in, like, I'll just call it Game Gear mode.
Sure.
You can play in there because there are still motion controls involved with that. And then you can also play with a pro controller because that has a motion control thing in it as well.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. I read up on it, and I think overall it's about a 13 to 15 hour campaign. Because this time around you're collecting moons instead of stars or suns. And you need a certain number of moons to collect from each world in order to progress to the next world. Standard, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Advancement, I guess.
Okay. Progression.
Progression. Thank you. Jesus. Standard progression stuff, like collect enough moons in order to power up your ship to move on to the next area. So about 12 to 15 hours, beat the campaign, and then you can go back and collect moons from each world. And I looked it up. There's over 800 fucking moons in this game.
Jesus Christ.
But a lot of the reviewers who have beaten it saying going back and collecting all the other moons is fun. It's not tedious. It's not a chore.
That's good.
And then there's coins. Like each world has world-specific coins, which the more you collect, you can buy outfits or moons or power-ups or stuff like that from vendors on each world. And if you're a completionist, obviously, you can go for those, because there's a bunch of different outfits Mario can wear, and it's pretty great.
I heard you could be a zipper.
I can be a zipper. I became a zipper last night. I possessed a zipper and became a zipper. It's bonkers.
Did you go in like the New York-esque city yet?
I have not gotten to New Donk City yet.
It's what called what?
New Donk City.
What the fuck?
Oh, I thought you said New Dong City.
So did I. I was like,
what? No, sorry? Like Donkey Kong, okay. New Donk City. And haven't gotten there yet, but the other fucking great part about this game is, I'm sure you've seen it in the trailers, but in each world so far, there are sections where you go to 2D Mario, and it all the graphics, basically you go into a warp pipe, and you get put on a surface, okay? And you're the original Super Mario Brothers sprite, and all the enemies are the original sprites from the first Mario Brothers game, and the music goes all 8-bit, toony, whatever the world music is that's happening when you go to 2D becomes 8-bit-arized, if that makes sense.
I actually didn't hear about this.
Oh god, it's so cool. It's a really cool throwback.
Okay.
And so some of the 2D things have like gravity involved, where sometimes like you'll run and if you jump into a certain area, you'll turn upside down and now the ceiling is the floor and everything looks like it's from the original Mario Brothers game on the NES. But the cool part is if you're wearing different outfits, like I unlocked and bought a sombrero and a poncho from a world and I was running around in that. And then I went to a 2D thing and it's the original Mario sprite, but he's wearing a sombrero and a poncho.
But in 2D.
But it's like 8-bit graphics.
Okay.
It's a really cool touch and throwback to the original games.
So that's two straight games that came out yesterday that have that throwback within the game.
Actually, yeah.
Hey man, if that's going to start becoming a thing, I would welcome it.
Yeah, I'm very fine with it.
Yeah.
I like that it's an Easter egg in Wolfenstein, and then they just integrated it into gameplay for Mario.
Yeah, that's pretty
Mario.
Cool.
It's
that is pretty cool.
Fun. It is so much fun. And it brings me back to like playing Mario 64 when I was, 10 or something like that.
I hear like... You just say Mario 64 makes me remember like hearing the music of the castle and the when he wins a level and all that stuff. Like, man, yes.
So the only thing none of us have played has been Assassin's Creed Origins. However, that is reviewing very well. On Metacritic, I think it has an 84 and an 86, which is about 10 to 12 points higher than the last Assassin's Creed iteration.
Well, the thing with Assassin's Creed, and we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, is that for me, it's burnt its bridge, you know,
a lot of people, yeah.
Well, Unity and Syndicate, I lost it. Like okay, so I played the first Assassin's Creed. I thought it was good. You know, it was kind of like I was like, ah, it's okay, but then Assassin's Creed 2 was fantastic. That entire trilogy of the Assassin's Creed 2 games, fantastic. Then they made 3, and 3 was like, it's okay. But then 4 is really when it hit its stride. So I hope that they really bring it back with Origins.
Yeah, that's the thing that caught my eye is a lot of the reviews are like, it's a return to form, which is big. And obviously, I mean, Metacritic's not the end-all be-all of should you buy this game or not, but...
They're usually pretty spot on.
Mid-80s is really good, so it's a solid game. I don't know if I'm gonna buy it right away. That might be a wait-a-while thing.
Didn't they take some time off in between creating the last one and this one?
A few years. 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, they used to do it every year.
It was a yearly entry for a while, and then they took some time
and
off.
And I think they started to notice that they were getting out. It was like the Call of Duty thing. It was just the same thing over and over, and people were getting, you know, less
different
enthusiastic.
Eras and different places.
Yeah, and then they finally were like, all right, we're going to take a step back. We're going to work on something, make it good. And then we're going to release it. And I think this is proving exactly the right thing.
I think so, too. I want to try it out before I, you know, make a decision on whether to buy it or not. So I need to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I might just base mine off of how you review it. Because I played the first one. That was it. I bought Black Flag when it was on the Steam summer sale. I haven't even installed it. So I haven't even looked at it. I haven't touched it for a second. So, but I know you guys said that it was really good. So,
I might Redbox it. That might be the way to do it.
Might not be a bad idea. See how it is first.
Yeah.
I put it on my Christmas list. Somebody wants to buy it for me, they can.
That goes out to your parents, your brother, or fans. No, I'm just kidding. Buy us shit.
Adam says don't buy shit, but if you want to buy me shit, I'm about that life.
Yeah, if you want to buy Chris shit, go for it.
Well, speaking of not buying shit, but if you want to, check stuff out. As everyone knows by now, we're sponsored by the wonderful Slumber Yard Handcrafted Company. Which is run by Mr. Joshua Kincaid, and I would like to thank him, and I mean, it was mainly him, not so much Lumberyard, but I'm Negan. I bought a baseball bat, and the only one I could find that was like the one in the show, which is a Louisville Slugger, came in ash, so it's not the same color as it is in the show, and my wife asked him, and he graciously accepted to come over to my house and stain it and sand it, which he didn't have to do, and he did out of the kindness of his heart. And we couldn't get it quite right at my house, and so he took it home and stained it in his shop, gave it back to me the next day, and it looks fantastic. So big thank you to Josh/Slumberyard for helping me out there. He's probably not going to do that for any customer. But if you have any interest in handcrafted solid wood furniture, like, look him up, because he makes a lot of quality things, as we've mentioned I don't know how many times now, from bed frames to liquor cabinets to even like a patio table. He can do a lot of cool stuff, and it looks amazing.
I mean, homemade.
Yeah,
homemade,
but just to make it, the easiest way to put it is it all looks amazing. And usually people try to challenge him with, like, either putting a cooler in their patio table, or I had him make mine a floating bed frame and portable, and he'll find a way to do it. And I can pretty much say it'll be made very, very well and solidly. So thank you for standing my bat, Josh. And he's actually running a giveaway on his Instagram account right now, which is what, at Slumberyard?
At Slumberyard Handcrafted.
There you go.
On Instagram.
And if you're a listener of our podcast and you're interested in entering this giveaway, head on over to his Instagram account, and he is giving away, let's see here, a Rigid Power Tools 18-gauge, 18-volt cordless nailer. And it comes with a battery and a charger. And if you're a fan of our show, come get your podcast, and you head over to his Instagram account, and you comment on that post with your favorite photo. Doesn't say what, so it could be anything, of their favorite. I think what he wants is a favorite photo of either stuff he's made, or I don't know. It just says favorite photo. So maybe anything.
Video game related, maybe.
Video game related or wood related. No penises, please. If you comment on the post with their favorite photo with the hashtag come get your podcast, all one word, and a hashtag in front of it, you will get an additional entry into that giveaway. And I'm not sure exactly when that contest ends. I just know it's ongoing right now. Probably got a little bit of time left. Go on over to his Instagram account, Slumberyard Handcrafted, and give yourself an extra entry with hashtag come get your podcast.
Well, I think it's also important to state that that is not the only thing that you could win in this contest. Oh. He has three prizes.
Oh.
The main prize, grand prize, is that nailer. Okay. However, second place is a variety pack of different items, which he did a live Instagram on Tuesday of picking out these items. So it's not just items that he thought were interesting, but people watching his live Instagram, his viewers, yeah, got to pick and stuff that he was looking at. So
that's cool.
In the second place prize, you get like a 30 piece or a 50 piece actually, like tool set. I think it's like screwdriver set, maybe, like steel wool, some wood glue, some saws. You know, there's a bunch of interesting stuff. And the third place prize gets a T-shirt, a Slumberyard Handcrafted T-shirt.
Okay.
And see, this is his close to 1K giveaway.
See, this wasn't in my my ad copy that he gave me. So
this is just that's on awesome. His Instagram.
Bonus prizes.
I'm reading this just from his Instagram, y'all. So you should check it out. That's the stuff you will see just on his Instagram.
Hashtag come get your podcast. You get double the entries.
Yeah, I'm gonna submit an entry. I'm not gonna double the entry because I think that would be
cheating.
Probably not right. But I'll do the original entry.
Sure. So yeah, head on over to his Instagram at Slumberyard Handcrafted. Visit his website, slumberyardhandcrafted.com. Check him out on Facebook, Slumberyard Handcrafted. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. You're awesome.
I love you.
All right. We're nearing the end of our episode, so we're going to kind of blaze through this really quick. But I made a post on our Facebook yesterday where I briefly talked about the three big games that released yesterday. And they're all winners, pretty much. And, I mean, two out of the three we love so far. Is this going to go down as one of the best days in gaming history?
It's going to be close.
I think so.
As, like, the best day? Probably.
Day? Most likely. Or Q4 or fall? Yet to see, because on that post, our buddy Jeff said, fall of 07 is still the greatest gaming season of all time, in his opinion. And
he's got some backup.
There's a pretty hefty list there. So far, the big games of this fall or Q4 have been Wolfenstein, Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins. You can throw Fractured Butthole in there, obviously, as well, and maybe Destiny 2. That's kind of skirting the line, but it's close. However, when you look at the highlights for fall of 07, I'm just going to read through the list, and then we're going to make a comparison. You get Halo 3, Portal. Shortly after that, the Orange Box, which was Portal, Half-Life 2, Episode 2, and Team Fortress 2, all in the same thing. A Neverwinter Nights 2 expansion, Mask of the Betrayer, Manhunt 2, the first Witcher game, Viva Pinata, shut up, it's great. COD 4, Modern Warfare, Mario Galaxy, Assassin's Creed, the first Crysis, the first Uncharted, the first Mass Effect, and the original Rock Band.
That's a powerhouse.
That's
a superstar list. And obviously you have other things in there that are not great at all, like the Balls of Fury movie game for the Wii. that's not anywhere close enough to bring down that powerhouse of a list.
No,
and I mean, I know we're technically not done with this fall yet. So, I mean, we already know.
A month and a half.
Yeah, we're getting another Call of Duty, going back to World War II, Battlefront 2. It should be good. This is going to be a good fall. I think you would put it, given how these games are rating right now and how the ones that we've played are making us feel, I can see it being in the top 10, probably. I'd just say
top 5, honestly.
I'd even go top 5.
It could even be top 5. Yeah, that's true. But I don't think it comes close to Fall of 07. That is...
Well, the other thing is, too, you said Battlefront 2 and the next Call of Duty, which are obviously going to be big hits just based on name alone, and they're big AAA titles. There's probably also going to be some sleeper hits in there as well.
Sure.
Chris alluded to earlier when we were talking that originally, like, Uncharted, Mass Effect, even Assassin's Creed, like, those were all kind of sleeper hits, and over time, they're lauded as fantastic, fantastic games.
That's true. That is true.
So in 5 to 10 years, I'm sure we'll have another handful of games that'll kind of be put up there. Maybe there's not a lot of original IP coming out lately.
No.
But we'll see. There could be some indie hits as well.
I think it points into there, too, that a lot of the games that came out or coming out this fall are continuations of games that have already come out. So, like you said, not original IP. It also looks to see, like, a lot of stuff from 07, like, those game companies were trial. Like, they were like, let's try this new thing. Like, Mass Effect, Uncharted, Assassin's Creed, Crysis. Those were all, or The Witcher as well, throw that in there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those were, like, a new thing, and we don't see that too much anymore.
Not as often.
That's true, because we knew, I mean, back in 07, I mean, you knew Halo 3 was going to be a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was Halo, and it was the third one, and everybody wanted it. But, yeah, I mean, having Assassin's Creed, Crysis, Uncharted, Mass Effect, Rock Band, and The Witcher, and even Portal. Just
Portal, yeah.
You're like, you would never look at Portal and be like, this is going to be a great game. Like, you just start playing it and realize, holy shit, this is fun.
I'm even willing to say COD 4. Because revolutionized where we are now on COD, or COD for like, 6 years, 7 years?
Definitely.
Because that was the first Modern Warfare game, and it brought it into, quote unquote, present day, and revolutionized everything.
I mean, that kind of took the mantle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Started breaking records, I believe, and how much they would spend on a game and how much people would spend buying a game.
Hey, you remember when that nuke went off in that game.
Exactly.
That was a fun fucking game.
It was a lot of fun. Another good contender that Misty brought up was 2011.
Yeah.
Because on our list here, we have the release of GTA Online, which is still going on, and they're still releasing stuff for it.
Huge.
6 years later.
Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, which fixed a lot of the problems with the original Human Revolution and made it a great game. Batman Arkham Origins, which according to Chris is underrated.
Well, everyone always totes Arkham City as the best Batman game, and I think it's great, but Arkham Origins, because it was done by WB Montreal, is so great.
I've never played it, so I can't.
I haven't either.
I think it's fantastic.
Hey man, I trust your opinion.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which is really the last good one, or at least well-rated one until now with Origins. Little game called Skyrim, which is, they're still trying to fucking force down our throats. Modern Warfare 3, which was a huge release, just not a fantastic game, in my opinion. L.A. Noire, which
awesome game,
I had revolutionized a lot of stuff. That was the first time Combat Evolved Anniversary came out. Saints Row the Third, like Minecraft.
Minecraft.
That's up there.
Did Battlefield 4 come out in 2011?
Yeah.
Was it fall? See, I remember Adam, you and I wanted to play Battlefield 4, but mm-hmm. we had so many people we knew who were stuck playing Call of Duty, which is fine. I mean, Call of Duty, like we said, was the first-person shooter military game for years. So I don't feel like enough people played Battlefield 4.
That was Battlefield a really 4 fun was not game. 2011. That was Battlefield 3.
When was it?
October 25th was Battlefield 3 release. Battlefield 4 came out like a couple years after that.
That makes sense. That makes sense because it was Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, and then Battlefield 3. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes more sense now.
Yeah, Battlefield
3 was fucking great.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, so was Battlefield 4. Like,
it was. I think we were looking at the 2013 list, and I think that was when that was on there for Battlefield 4. But overall, that wasn't a great, great year in comparison to these two. I mean, like...
No.
I really think 07 takes the cake.
Oh, yeah.
11 is also up there with all that stuff. And just yesterday, over time, I think we're going to put it in our top fives.
I think you're right. I think eventually we're gonna put this entire year of gaming in our top three.
Strong one.
It's just eventually it's just gonna be up there.
I'm gonna say yesterday was probably the best single day for gaming release wise. Maybe not ever, but in my memory, it's top three.
Yeah. So. I mean I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think you're wrong. In that statement,
time will tell, but we'll see. I mean,
do these people think I have enough time to watch all of Stranger Things season 2, play Assassin's Creed Origins, Mario Odyssey, and Wolfenstein 2? Come on, spread that shit out, man. You gotta give me some time.
The nice part is there's, with the exception of Assassin's Creed Origins, the other three things, Wolfenstein, Mario, and Stranger Things, are all on different platforms, which is good and bad, but I don't know. Time will tell on 10/27/17, day which will live in infamy. But all right. I think we're going to slide into Tweet Corner now.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Quick sing our jingle.
Wrap this shit up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, jingle.
Tweet corner.
Tweet, 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 tweet. All
right.
We need to get you just to record that, and then we can just drop it in.
So we have one.
All right.
From Twitter, from @BradSif. Don't remember if you guys talked about it. If you're going to ask with the new Shadows of War coming out, thoughts of their Nemesis system. Why can't more games incorporate something like that? It's such a great idea. Crime mob games / superhero games would be great for that. Imagine a Grand Theft Auto Online system. Jesus. Where people are being overthrown, or a Game of Thrones meets Skyrim system with the Nemesis system in the background.
My question is, who's the studio that made the Shadows games?
WB.
All right. Do they have a patent on it?
That's a good question. They could.
So that's the only thing, of the only reason why. Otherwise, whatever's behind that system, development wise, might be so complicated that they're just not releasing that secret.
Sure. I mean, because
no one else has figured it out yet.
That system would work great in any open world.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Game setting, that would be a lot of fun, because I have not played the new Shadows of War yet. I plan on getting it because I played the first one and I loved it.
Another game that came out this year.
Yeah.
That's fall.
Just another one that we have to that I'm going to play. I'm going to buy and play.
These are good problems, people.
Yeah, this is great. I would love to see that in more games, but I have a feeling, and I'm just assuming, that they probably do have the copyright on that because we haven't seen it in any other game.
Either that, or like they're just not releasing the secret to making it.
Sure.
And no one else has figured it out yet. I do want to see it in more games, though, because I loved the Nemesis system from the first game. I'm assuming it's the same, if not better, in Shadows of War. And there are so many benefits to it, potentially, for online gaming. Or, I mean, that'd be really hard to develop it for an online game, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do something like that for, like, Red Dead.
I was going to say, maybe Rockstar would be able to figure it out for Red Dead 2.
Like a Bounty Hunter-esque. Yeah, style, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be so fun.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know how well you'd be able to do it in an online, you know, like GTA. Maybe the main game of GTA, you might be able to do it, but that wouldn't run with the current campaign storyline.
Yeah.
Well, you could do it online.
I imagine that'd be really difficult to implement.
It would be
though.
Very difficult, because you're dealing with so many other players that so all they want to do is kill you as you're running down the street trying to do something else. So
I'd love to see it. Maybe they could make it like a heist type thing or something like that. I don't know. Or make it like a base building component and then incorporate it that way.
Man, it would be cool. I think it would get a little... I also wonder if, I mean, we find it so cool because it is just in this one game.
I'm sure that's part of it.
You know, and then if we started to see it everywhere, we might get tired of it, but... Right now, I love it. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Red Dead 2 might have an iteration of it somewhere in the game, whether it's online or single player. I don't know. But my guess would be they would do it.
That would be fantastic.
On record, right now. Mark it down.
Count it.
I just think it probably takes a lot to rework it. I mean, Shadows of Mordor kind of took hold of that and then improved it from what I've seen in Shadows of War. And that's another game we didn't really talk about too much, but you know, maybe we could dive into that another time. That like that wasn't in our list, but we all love Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, also, I don't know if either of you guys played the 360 or PS3 version of Shadow of Mordor. Did not have the Nemesis system in it because the system couldn't handle it.
Yep. I only played the PS4 one.
So did I.
And the game ran like a piece of shit.
Sure.
So maybe that's also part of the reason why we haven't really seen it yet is...
I can see it being taking a lot of system resources.
System resources, exactly.
Well, and WB does a fantastic job of making it. It's like it's literally part of the campaign. It's part of your story. It's integrated in with the game. Everything we're talking about are games, obviously, that are already out, unless it's, you know, Red Dead, but it would be more of like a side version or a side mode of the game, which probably makes it even more difficult. So probably makes it easier on WB.
Probably.
To, you know, because it's just the game. That's how you're supposed to play it. So that's the whole point, opposed to just being like a side project.
Ooh, another thought. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Spider-Man game that's coming out next year will have it.
Oh, that would be cool too.
I can't wait for that game.
That could be interesting. Just have a rotating cast of villains taking stuff over.
Dude, I would almost encourage that because it's a superhero.
Yeah.
You know, as Brad says, like a superhero game, it would be great.
Because I was that like, WB has Batman, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a second, there's a Spider-Man game coming out.
Yeah. That would be perfect for something like that.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
But they should. I think that it wouldn't harm them to put something like that in the system, into a game. I think that would only increase the value of the game.
I believe so as well. I agree. All right. And that does it for Tweet Corner. And the end of an episode, because Dustin has 3 birthday parties to go to today.
Yeah.
Damn family.
So I'm going to wrap this up as quick as possible. We are Come Get Your Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And I've been Chris.
You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all at CGY Podcast. This is where you can submit your questions or just make fun of us or, you know, tell us things. Interact with us. We like interacting with you guys. Get at us on social media.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everywhere you can.
Hit those DMs.
And as every episode ends, it'll end with a shower thought from Reddit. I have 3 to choose from. You guys want something a little more real, something kind of funny, or something kind of real and funny?
Dealer's choice.
I want real, because last time we did something funny.
Okay. This shower thought comes from user the_great_Catsby. New Year's Eve 2017 will be the only day when every adult was born in the 1990s and every minor was born in the 2000s.
That's damn. That's fucked up.
Oh, this includes episode 11 of Come Get Your Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Yeah. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.